her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
Do want to say, because the post is now out, and you can go check it out at ESPN Milwaukee on social media. Happy 20 years to Homer. Homer has now been here at Good Karma Brands at ESPN Milwaukee for 20 years. So happy 20th anniversary to our guy, the Home Slice.
You're at what year with Good Karma?
23.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm welcoming Homer into the elite club of people who have been here for 20 plus years.
I mean, in terms of our ESPN Milwaukee team on the air, that's it. Just you two, right?
I believe so, yes.
Jason's likely close.
Jason's close, yeah, I think. I think Jason started, yeah, he's probably around right around that same time, 2006-ish, I think. So he might be celebrating 20 years here soon.
What's your favorite Homer memory? And I know you guys did your show together for like 7 years. So, and obviously you did Green Bay Game Night, you do Marquette Basketball together. If you had to boil it down to one thing for Steve the Homer True, what stands out?
So when you said that, the one thing that popped into my mind, and it's not on the air, because I mean, he is, I think Jason has said this a ton, so I will say it as well. I think he's the best to ever do it in Milwaukee. So I consider myself incredibly fortunate to work with him for 6.5 years like I did. I can't remember the specific year, but Wisconsin was playing Ohio State in a night game. Mm-hmm. And they asked me and Homer to do the post-game show at the W.
Oh, boy.
I was there.
So what's that?
I think I was there.
So we drove. We used to have, we still have station vehicles, but we used to have station vehicles that had like the old 540 ESPN Milwaukee wrap. So we took the HHR, which if you've ever seen an HHR, it is a piece of crap. It is the worst car possibly ever designed. The car is just one giant blind spot, right? It is a terrible vehicle. So we hop in because I used to drive that thing all the time. Homer and I would go every Friday. We'd be at, we'd be in Madison doing our show quite a bit because we did a lot of shows at the Edgewater. So anyway, we jump in. We go on this Saturday. We went to the tailgate pregame. We ended up watching a good chunk of the game and eating some dinner together at the Nitty Gritty. So we watch there and then kind of wander our way over to the W and do the postgame show there. And at the end, you know, we get done. It was a night game, so it's pretty late. We got to drive back to Milwaukee, and it is just raining. It is pouring. And the marketing teammate who was responsible for the ESPN Madison vehicle left the lights on, killed the battery.
Oh, no.
And so, but I knew that we had jumper cables in the HHR. I'd seen them in there before. Because again, we drove in this car 1,000 times. So I go, hey, we should be able to jump it. Not a big deal. The battery inside the HHR didn't have both ports. Because it's, again, it's the worst car possibly ever made. So we can't actually, we try to, you know, find a way to ground it. We can't figure out how to get juice from our battery to the battery of the vehicle for the ESPN Madison vehicle. So Homer is standing out in the middle of the road in the pouring rain at like midnight after Wisconsin lost to Ohio State, dangling the jumper cables, trying to get someone to stop and pull over to help us jump the ESPN Madison vehicle. And eventually somebody did. But I will never forget the vision of Homer just shaking the jumper cables to try to get someone's attention to be like, hey, please pull over. We need help so we can jump this vehicle. Because we weren't leaving until we figured out how to help. And that's part of who Homer is. Like he wanted to help. He was just sitting there dangling. It is just, it's so dark because it is just pouring rain. And he is just sitting there dangling these jumper cables, eventually got someone to pull over. And again, we jumped the car and we're able to then drive back to Milwaukee, but
oh baby,
Homer was going to help out until we found a solution for that teammate who, you know, had to drive that vehicle.
It's incredible.
He is, again,
he's the GOAT. No doubt about it. You're absolutely
and
right.
As good as he is on the air, he is one of my favorite humans ever. And he does so much behind the scenes and does so much for charity that again, he doesn't want people to know because that's not why he does it. Mm-hmm. But I have seen it all in action. My second favorite memory, I'll just tell this one real quick, based on charity. We always used to do a show out at the Waukesha Gun Club. They had a Mac Fund. Mac Fund would have an event out there. They had like a shooting event, you know, out and go out and shoot the clay pigeons. And Homer would always have to leave around 4:30. Our show was 3 to 6. He would have to leave at 4:30, and I'd have to do a segment by myself before we got to Jason at 4:45 because he had to go do the auction. And Homer always likes to start with like a little joke or whatever. And he had like 6 or 7 auction items. And he starts by going, "All right, if anybody just wants to pay $100,000, I'll give you all the auction items and we'll be done." And someone went, "All right, deal." And I can kind of hear what's going on, you know, because they've got a PA system going on. And I couldn't quite tell exactly what was going on. But very rarely have I heard Homer stunned and at a loss for words. Because he wasn't sure if he'd actually do that. He's like, wait, what? What? You want a what? Yeah, I'll give you $100,000. So Homer checked with the people and said, "Yeah, you said it. We'll do it." And the guy said, "Sweet. Here are all the items back. You can still do the auction." He just wanted to donate $100,000 to the Mac Fund. But Homer being stunned in that moment after starting with his little, "Hey, somebody gives $100,000, we can be done here." And then somebody actually did it.
That's incredible.
One of my favorite Homer auctioneer moments as well.
I have the unique story of him tricking me into getting a tattoo of him on myself. That would be there forever. Yeah. When he said he'd donate $1,000 to the Mac Fund as well, without me realizing he would do it anyways, and he just
he donates $1,000 every single year, sometimes under different names. One year he did it under Jimmy Chitwood because he's the biggest like Hoosiers fan out there, and he doesn't want the name on the page when we're raising money for the Mac Fund for the 100 holes every year. But yeah, he tricked Josh into getting a Homer tattoo. Yeah,
that's true. He did.
I thought about it directly after and said, "Huh, I think I got caught."
You sure did. But also, is there anybody better to have memorialized on your leg? With the catchphrase, "Oh baby."
Yeah. It serves right.
So congratulations to Homer on his 20-year anniversary here with Good Karma Brands. Obviously has been a mainstay here in Milwaukee for much longer than that. We've got some Brewers talk we need to get to because things are not going well for them out in San Diego. We dive into that coming up next, but first, got to tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to Pella is honoring that trust and commitment, because it can be overwhelming inviting somebody into your home and going, "Hey, what do we new windows, doors?" And it can be a very invasive process, but not with Pella. Pella just does it so well with the experience and professionalism that they have. You can trust bringing your project to life, just like I did with the front door I have on my house, and they can do the same for you, whether it's windows or doors. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. And if you order by the end of the month, get 0% interest for up to 5 years. They've always got great deals going on. So visit PellaWI.com today. When you use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presents out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Is your business ready to take the next step? At Fifth Third Commercial Bank, Wisconsin, our team of local experienced advisors is here to propel you forward. We understand your needs and offer in-depth expertise, cutting-edge technology, and tailored solutions to streamline your cash collections, automate payments, and safeguard your assets with top-notch fraud mitigation tools. So contact Fifth Third in downtown Milwaukee today. Let's eliminate the non-value add work so you can focus on what truly matters most, growing your business. And that's what the great people I got to spend some time with yesterday at Fifth Third care about. They want to help you grow your business. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC. And when you smile for him, Justin in Middleton via the talk and text line, the Carpool's talk and text line, requesting a picture of the Homer tattoo via socials, or if you have it for the YouTube stream, however you choose, Joshy, but people are requesting to see it for those who have not seen the Homer tattoo you have on your leg.
Yeah, I got to track it down here. I will flash it on the YouTube stream at some point here.
Okay, so we will certainly get it up there as well. Again, happy
pop
anniversary.
Pop your leg on the table. Show off those calves.
Nah, I'm all right.
All right.
But happy anniversary to Homer. I'm sure there'll be, again, there's a social media video out there from a lot of different people wishing him a happy anniversary, and I'm sure you're going to be hearing some of those messages here on 94.5 ESPN as the day goes. Things, meanwhile, have not been going well for the Milwaukee Brewers out in San Diego, but I guess the good news is nobody's playing well. Phillies have lost three in a row. Brewers have lost three in a row. Cubs have lost five in a row. Dodgers have lost two in a row. So teams that of the teams that have already clinched playoff berths in the National League, the only one I guess is playing well is San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
They have won four in a row. Of course, two of those being over the Brewers the last two nights. And I'm not concerned about the three games, but I am a little concerned about the pitching staff.
Yeah, rightfully so.
And we talked with Jeff Levering yesterday, and I assumed that the answer he gave was the one I was assuming was going to happen when it comes to starting pitching in the National League Divisional Series. The Brewers have already wrapped up that bye. Mm-hmm. They are not playing in the wild card round. Hopefully they get home field advantage throughout the postseason, which they are still very much in the driver's seat of. But I love Freddie, the way he's pitched, fantastic. Hard not to trust Quinn Priester. Pretty good 1-2 start. Love it. All right, three gets a little murky. Don't know if the calf's going to be healthy for Jose Quintana to come out and be able to throw. I think the idea of Brandon Woodruff pitching in the DS has sailed. Yeah. Maybe he can pitch later in the postseason, depending upon how bad the lat strain ends up being. So it ends up being a Johnny Holstaff, which the Brewers had done before, and the last time they made a NLCS.
That was their thing, yeah.
They were doing the opener thing with Wade Miley and Brandon Woodruff and all these different things where they'd go with the opener. So if they throw, and again, I guess it probably depends upon who they're playing, what their left-right lineup looks like, which one you're more comfortable with, what you want to force their hand into. I'm guessing you could probably go Robert Gasser starting or Chad Patrick starting, depending upon the right-left matchup, kind of handcuff those two together. Hopefully between those two, you can cobble out six innings if you're really lucky, and then let the bullpen take over. And I'm cool with that when it comes to the NLDS, because for those who don't know, it is the DS. You got a lot of off days in the National League this year because you get the scheduling quirk because they want to try to stagger the series the best that they can. So you always have baseball on every night from a national perspective. So everybody's going to be playing American League, National League, a week from Saturday. That's when the DS starts. All four series playing that day. And then in the National League, Sunday's an off day. Then you have Monday playing game two. Then you have Tuesday an off day, travel day. Then on Wednesday, Thursday, games three and four, off day Friday, and then game five back in Milwaukee, if necessary, on that Saturday. So there are a lot of off days built in. You only need three.
Yep.
My concern becomes, what the hell happens when you need four
in
when
the
Brewers make an NLCS? And maybe I'm just getting out in front of myself, and I can worry about that when I get there. But I'm cool with this as a DS plan, but I look around and I'm going, okay, when you need more in a seven-game series, what ends up being the plan?
Well, that's where, a couple names come to mind. Number one, and I'm going to guess the answer is no, but I will ask you this. Can you trust Mizorowski starting in that spot? Okay, I didn't even get through the sentence before you answered. And I said, I figured the answer would be no, because he's due for at least one bad inning every time he starts.
I'm guessing they're going to use him out of the bullpen.
In the CS or in the DS?
Oh, both. I mean,
you think he makes the roster no matter what?
I think he kind of has to.
At this point, with all the injuries, probably.
Yeah, because I pre-Woodruff
injury,
was a world that existed to me pre-Woodruff injury where Mizorowski did not make the postseason.
I agree with you.
There was a world that existed.
But I don't think that world exists anymore.
I don't know
Woodruff
if that exists right now.
But not as a starter.
I can't imagine. But that also means they're going to have to use him out of the bullpen over these final four games, because I don't think that they're going to want to have his first bullpen appearance
be in the postseason.
He is
scheduled to start on Friday against Cincinnati.
I mean,
that could change, obviously. It's only Wednesday, or it's only Thursday. What day is it today? Wednesday?
Wednesday. He is not scheduled to start on Friday.
He's not?
No.
Okay. Projected? Is that what I'm looking at?
Yeah, I think that might have been the projecting, but initially, Priester was going to go today.
Gotcha.
He is not. Chad Patrick is starting today. So Priester is going on Friday.
Gotcha.
So don't know what the rest of the Saturday-Sunday plan is going to be there for the Brewers. I think kind of it depends upon if they get to the 97 wins, if they wrap up everything they need to wrap up, and they'll figure out Saturday-Sunday and if they want to throw anybody in those situations or what they ultimately end up doing. But right now, Chad Patrick is going today. Priester is going on Friday. And again, maybe I'm just getting way out ahead of my skis and I should just worry about one series at a time. But that's just kind of where my brain went of, okay, this works for the DS.
They got to win in the DS.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
I should just worry about that.
The National League is stacked, right? Obviously, we know how good the Dodgers and Phillies each are. The Padres are playing really good baseball right now, as you mentioned. I would love to see the Cubs in the DS just because I want to beat Council's ass in the biggest stage he's been in since 2018. Would love to see that and say, hey, I know you wanted the money, but by the way, you made a bad decision. Just continue to reinforce that. But nonetheless, I don't know that you're getting ahead of yourself because the Brewers have proved through this 162-game schedule as we enter game 159 that they are the best team in baseball. They respond to adversity better than any other team, right? They might not have the high payroll, but damn, they are a highly touted baseball team for a reason. So when you look ahead, no, I don't think you're getting ahead of yourself. Of course, you need to win in the DS before you start looking at the CS.
Before I start worrying about, hey, who's our fourth starter
in the CS? But it's a real concern.
CS.
It's a real concern because I don't know. Do you trust Chad Patrick to go five innings in a game three scenario?
I don't. If Chad Patrick is a starter, I think the best case scenario is you get four innings out of him.
Yep, and then it becomes a bullpen game.
Yeah, and he seems to be a guy that... and I agree with what Levering said yesterday. He's pitched his tail off every year, all year long, whenever the Brewers have needed him. And the way he's been shuttled up and down from AAA and had to be that guy, he was such a stalwart for them, especially early in the season when they had a lot of these pitching injuries in the starting rotation. But it seems like he is a guy that you don't want pitching third time through a lineup in a postseason game. So I think it's 3-4 innings max.
I'll just throw out, we did get good news yesterday from Adam McCalvey that the Brewers are hopeful. Is it my favorite word in the dictionary? That Trevor McGill will be activated Sunday?
I mean, he said that he wants to pitch on Sunday. And he feels like he needs to. He said he wants to pitch and needs to pitch in that game.
Yep.
So hopefully he is activated and done that. Because again, the bullpen, when you start factoring in then Uribe and Mears and Ashby and these guys, you know, Koenig.
Well, he had the back-to-back blown saves, and then we find out he's injured
with
the elbow injury. And we haven't seen him since, right? They made the decision to go with Uribe in the ninth that week, and then all of a sudden, boom, IL, retroactive to a couple days prior, and we haven't seen him since. And it's been, I would guess, probably a month at this point or 3 weeks since we've seen Trevor McGill.
The last time he pitched was the 24th, so yeah, a month.
It was the 24th, so a month today.
It was the Euchre celebration of life.
Yeah.
It was his last.
Against the Giants, that loss. Yeah.
That was his last appearance.
So it's been a month since we've seen Trevor McGill. And obviously what we saw towards the end before he was put on the IL was not encouraging signs for the closer.
I can write that off pretty easily because he even mentioned it kind of been bothering me, but I thought I'd be able to pitch through it. And obviously he wasn't. And he was an all-star.
So if you can get him back.
Like a rightful all-star this year because he had been that good prior to those back-to-back.
But if you can get him back and get him back to form, you then have Chad Patrick in your bullpen. You have Aaron Ashby in your bullpen. You have Obner Uribe, obviously, who's been very good. Nick Mears, Jared Koenig, right? Like you've got all these options who, if you have to go to a situation.
Can you say Uribe's first name for me?
Obner. Is it Abner?
Abner? Yeah, Abner.
I don't know. That's a hard name to pronounce in my defense. I've probably just always said it wrong.
It's pretty straightforward, is it not, Joshy? A-B-N-E-R?
Is Abner? It Abner?
Yeah.
I've always said Abner. I've never been corrected.
So if you saw one of the earliest creators of baseball, his name was that Doubleday. You thought it was Abner Doubleday?
I don't even know who that is, Gabe. All right, this is going well.
Dude, just
we were doing so well.
Do a little bit of research.
We were doing so well.
Just do a little bit of research.
But the thing
that's
is,
all I ask.
We were doing so well.
No.
We were.
Gabe was doing well.
I don't argue I was doing well. I was making a point about how I trust their bullpen, especially if Trevor McGill gets back. And then we had to derail it. You couldn't have just let me.
Well, no.
Sometimes I fly too close to the sun, and that was probably an example of that. It's all right. I had fun. It was good up until that point.
To your larger point, however you want to pronounce people's names, the bullpen is a strength. The pitching is a strength. I think they're going to be able to cobble together whatever they need to in order to get through games.
You know you can look at me.
Especially
you're allowed to look at me.
It's just disappointing. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
I feel like that happens every time I'm here. And then we got to do the whole thing again on Friday as we will be live from the Pocket Pancake Breakfast.
Yeah.
In at Anfield Field.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. So maybe
in the Yacht Lot,
just
right?
watch a couple episodes of
I don't have time. We've been over this. I don't have time.
What do you do?
I watch sports.
Yeah, so what I'm telling you is to, if you have a little bit of time, watch Ken Burns Baseball and educate yourself.
All right, you know what? That's actually not the worst suggestion. Better than any crappy 1980s movie you're going to suggest.
I'm just saying, educate yourself on baseball, something that we all love.
What's going on over there? You break something? Oh, yeah, you're breaking stuff.
Yeah, I'm breaking stuff.
When you threw your pen in frustration.
No, I'm just trying to get this so I can tell you that our Brewers talk is unconditionally relentless. It's presented by Neurospine Center of Wisconsin. And the Chewy picture was somehow pinned.
Then your coffee cup fell.
Yeah, the coffee cup.
Here, let's direct attention. Abner Uribe.
To what?
To the stream quick.
Yeah, what's up?
There's the Homer tattoo is adorning my leg for all those people who were curious about it. Sometimes I forget it's there. It's a little jump scare in the shower on occasion. Because you're not looking at the outside of your calf all that often.
Yeah, for those who are listening on the radio, again, I think it's a very good drawing of Homer. And then underneath, there's, you know, some, like a branch with a couple of roses on it. And underneath it just says, oh, baby, which is Homer's
catchphrase.
Remember when you revealed that to Homer and he said he looks like the ugliest person of all time?
Yeah. And I'm not going to say what I said then because we're celebrating Homer today.
Good catch, Joshy. Good catch.
Oh, man. Just. Good times all the way around. Also, some other baseball news we need to dive into. We're going to have some replays coming your way. Good idea, bad idea. That is next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I do want to tell you about our friends at the Jewelry Center because they're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. And that reason is the team that they have put together. Whether you're going to Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington, the team is always going to point you in the right direction. They have always been incredibly helpful to me, and they made sure when it came time for me a couple of years ago to buy my wife's diamond engagement ring, that I was not going to be led astray. I was going to bring that dream ring to life. Now, maybe you don't really have an idea and you don't want to just go in there and browse. Hey, take a look at our Pinterest page, bring those ideas in, and the helpful team at the Jewelry Center is going to bring that ring to life. Naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for, Jewelry Center has you covered. Stop in Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington. ShopTJC.com is the website. When you go to the Jewelry Center, first of all, say hi to Dean Dean's Dancing Machine. Second of all, tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's time for me to tell you about my favorite daily fantasy app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays. It's called Wanna Parlay. You've heard me talk about them before, but with the football season, it's time to play. I'm looking at Thursday's game. I like Jackson Smith and Jigba over 80.5 receiving yards. Ken Walker over 52.5 rushing yards. Trey Benson to score a touchdown. And Marvin Harrison Jr. to have under 45.5 receiving yards. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play, get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Download the Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
Another significant change coming to Major League Baseball next year, and I think this was expected after we saw it get tried out and tested during spring training this year, but the automated ball strike challenge system is going to be making its way to regular season games next year. The rules that have been agreed upon, each team getting two challenges, can keep them if they're successful. Challenges can only be initiated by a pitcher, catcher, or batter, and the request has to come right after the pitch. To signal a challenge, just tap your hat or helmet. And no help from the dugout, other players on the field is allowed.
Mm.
So this is obviously, to me, something that you tell your players, hey, you're not allowed to challenge, you are allowed to challenge. I think it's kind of a red light, green light type of situation. And how much, because again, you only get two, and you want to make sure that they're using them in the right situation and not trying to burn them on, you know, the opening pitch of the second inning.
So you view it like if you were like a middle school basketball coach and you've got, you know, some kids that can shoot a three and some kids that aren't allowed to shoot a three type thing.
You know, to keep it in baseball, guys who have a red light to steal bases or a green light to steal bases. Yeah, I don't know why we have to go cross sport here, but, you know, You do you.
I don't know. My baseball stuff hasn't been that great today, so I figured I would pivot. Attempt to pivot.
I mean, seeing the way you run, you would have the red lights once you get on first base. Okay, I'll tell you that now.
That was unnecessary, first off. Second off, I would just like to let everybody know I spent the commercial break researching Abner.
Abner, yes.
Doubleday, who allegedly created the game of baseball. It's heavily disputed whether or not he did. But what an accomplished fella he is. Now, back to this. So, big fan. Love the rule of sort of like NFL challenges, where if you win, you get to keep it.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Oh, and by the way, if you have zero heading in extra innings, you get one.
Per inning?
Per inning.
But they don't add up like off days.
Correct. It's not like you can stack them. Like, they just want to make sure you have one in that extra inning.
So it's. I'm just going to keep using different sport analogies. College basketball, use it or lose it type thing in extra innings.
But you don't lose it.
Well, you don't get to keep it, though.
You don't get to stack it, correct.
Sure.
But you always have one available to you every extra inning that you play.
Well, okay, got it. Now that I get it, I love it. This is overdue. After watching the awful performance by the home plate umpire on... Monday night, when that game went to 11 innings against the Padres. What do you have, 25 missed calls?
Depending upon where you looked, one place said 25. Ump scorecard had 17.
Oh, of course, the scorecard had a few less. So. I saw several balls that were called strikes and vice versa. To the point where I think it affected the game on Monday.
Yeah, but it was so terrible both ways. I don't know how much
it was more
truly
terrible
affected.
Towards Milwaukee, but fair.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I'm probably just watching it with that eye.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of generous strike calls and not so generous calls that went both ways, I think. Especially when there's 25 of them.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, you're getting split up. Who on the Brewers would you trust with this? Who on the Brewers do you think has the green light to use the ABS challenge next year?
William Contreras.
Okay.
Christian Yelich.
Yep.
If he's on the team, Rhys Hoskins.
Okay. I can't imagine Rhys is around next year.
Andrew Vaughn, maybe?
Vaughn's got a great eye. I would trust Andrew Vaughn with it.
But then again, I think it comes down to situationally because, like, Bryce Terang situationally, Sal Frelick situationally.
I think I trust their command of the strike zone. Like, the crazy part is, like, honestly, at this point, the only one who I might not trust is Jackson.
Well, yeah, that's because he's just so young. His name for a reason.
But I think everybody else who's a, you know, like Caleb Durbin has got a pretty good understanding of the strike zone. These guys who grind out these at bats, that's the hallmark of the Brewers.
So here's
they all seemingly are pretty disciplined and have a pretty good understanding of what the strike zone
is. But I feel like Pat Murphy is such a good player's manager.
Yeah.
Right? Where I don't know if he's going to have the red light, green light rule. If you feel strongly enough to use it, use it. I feel like that will be his approach, at least to start the season. That could always change.
Be smart about it and don't. Yeah. And when it comes to
don't
pitchers.
Don't use it for every pitch.
Yeah. When it comes to pitchers, I guess I just go, hey, trust whatever Williams says. Like, Williams back there. He knows, he's going to have a feeling for the strike zone. Like, I don't know if a pitcher necessarily has to do it. Just let the catcher.
No, the catcher will do it.
Yeah. Just leave that in the hands of, William or whoever ends up being the backup catcher.
There's certainly going to have to be guidelines on situationally and when to use it, when not to use it. You don't want to burn on a meaningless ball three in the second inning and then have something pop up in the seventh inning with bases loaded. Like, there is going to have to be some strategy discussed here because it is a complete different change, and a ball or strike can determine the outcome of a game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because it changes the complexity of at bats.
Yes.
Very, again, if it's a 1-1 pitch, being 2-1, being up in the count as a hitter 2-1 versus being down 1-2 is vastly different and can change how aggressive you are being with trying to drive the ball somewhere versus trying to extend the at bat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, I think I trust Christian Yelich in any situation. If he wants to burn it on ball three in the second inning, I trust that he's going to get it right, and I'm keeping that challenge. Because that's how good Christian Yelich's eye is.
They've got a few of those guys.
Yeah.
Obviously, Contreras is another one. Hoskins does have a great eye. It's just he's not going to be on the team.
He's not going to be around next year, no. He's not going to be on the playoff roster.
Correct. Yeah. Kind of odd. Complete side note. Not odd, but it just, I imagine when he went down, I don't think any of us were like, he's not going to have a spot when he comes back.
Well, because nobody knew that Andrew Vaughn was going to become
Babe Ruth? Yeah.
Andrew Vaughn.
Become Barry Bonds, you mean, for a while there?
Yeah.
It's cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, pretty significantly.
There's still a bit.
Compared to what Barry is. Yes. He's still very, 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 very good player. Just not, he was for like 2 or 3 weeks there, he was literally Barry Bonds. Or, you know, Aaron Judge, right. The way that Aaron Judge had been playing earlier this year. But it's hard to take him out of the lineup. It's hard to take and give, you know, even his spot to, you know, take Jake Bowers out and give it to Rhys Hoskins, because Bowers has been playing really well as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a left-handed bat, and it gives you a different option if he's not starting to come off the bench.
Yeah.
And obviously he was one of the heroes last year, hitting a pinch hit home run in game three before the rest of game three happened.
Yeah, you could have just not said that and just left it.
But so Rhys is just the odd man out, unfortunately, at that position, because Andrew Vaughn, he was injured and he wasn't good enough. But if he was hitting 280 with a bunch more home runs than he did.
Hoskins, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then he would have a spot on this team.
Definitely.
And you'd have to choose between Vaughn and Bowers.
Beauty of this team, the case. You just never know who's going to step up, who's going to become the hero. I mean, when they signed Rhys Hoskins prior to last season, we all thought, okay, you got your everyday first baseman. And he was for a long time there. And he gets injured. Andrew Vaughn becomes the man. Jake Bowers, serviceable always.
Oh, he's a great bat to have on your bench. Absolutely love Bowers off my bench. Again, you need a little bit of pop. Yeah, he has shown he can run into a pitch. Right. He can absolutely run to that pitch and drive it out of here.
Brewers getting win 96 tonight, by the way.
This afternoon.
3:05. 3:10.
3:10.
Yeah.
3:10 first pitch over on WTMJ. Hey guys, it's Gabe Nutz. Let me tell you, if you're feeling like you're running on empty, that's where Mentality Health is here to help. Here are some signs of low testosterone that I kind of ignored for a little bit before I went to Mentality. Low energy and motivation, fatigue, you're just tired all the time, weight gain or muscle loss, especially belly fat, maybe you're anxious, moody, or irritable. And what Mentality can do to help you is get a board-certified physician to provide a full physical consultation, blood panel analysis, and that is all during your first visit. Great thing is, if your testosterone levels are low then, again, doctors can overlook this from time to time because Mentality focuses on the free testosterone levels, which can really help with a lot of the symptoms I was just telling about. And once you start working with Mentality, your energy comes roaring back. Belly fat burns off, your muscles strengthen, and you feel like yourself again, confident, driven, ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be your best for yourself and your family. Visit mentalityhealth.com/radio. That's mentalityhealth.com/radio and book an appointment and see if you're dealing with low testosterone and if Mentality can help you. mentalityhealth.com/radio.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at Tony Wendorf and Associates First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate, faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win, no matter if it's buying or selling. Get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com.
A lot of people on the Carblues Talk and Text line have wanted to talk more about the financials of Wisconsin football. And you know, some have pointed out, hey, they've got plenty of money. And I guess maybe I just used the wrong word. Yes, Wisconsin has money. They have not chosen to spend it on football. Right?
This is a thing that, I mean, dating back to when we did Skelzo and Brust, a lot of those people give that money to cancer research.
Yes.
The medical school.
With specific things in mind when they make those donations.
Yes. And it's hard to tell those people, well, why don't you give that to the football program instead?
Yeah.
Well, also you'd like a return on your investment, and a 2-10 season isn't a great return on your investment.
Strofe has already written them off.
What do you mean already writing them off? They've written themselves off.
What, 2-10?
They're 2-2?
Yeah.
With 8 games remaining? Tell me where the win is. Go ahead. Do it. Tell me where the win is.
Minnesota.
Good one, Gabe. That was funny. Try again.
I mean,
Ohio State?
it's got to be in there somewhere.
Maybe Washington. Maybe.
Stevie texting in. Don't know if you guys talked about this yet. Have you seen any of the stuff about a Chinese billionaire Madison alum? Yeah. I don't know what he does with his money. I have no idea.
Big Cat of Barstool is trying to reach out to him, is my understanding. I would assume that's comedic. I don't know if that's real.
Well, I think the person is real.
Well, the person is real. Yes, I looked into him. Terrific background.
Yeah.
He graduated 21 years ago. Not that, that I mean, nothing changes.
Yeah.
Your alma mater's your alma mater.
Your alma mater's your alma mater. You have billions of dollars. Maybe you want to, you know, throw some money toward the football program.
I would just say he's probably not a big sports fan, if he hasn't already.
It's probably fair. And again, the problem with, you talk about ROI.
Billionaires want ROI, Gabe.
Yep. They're not just going to keep throwing money at a program year after year after year so you can sign players and improve facilities and things like that.
Just give us $1 billion once. That's all we ask for.
Will the Itouch coming up next?